interesting piece in the Detroit Free Press with the claim that what we're seeing with the war in Iran is following a dangerously similar pattern, and one that may closely resemble how the United States slid deeper into the Vietnam War. And mm-hmm. maybe some parallels to what we're seeing, what lessons we can learn, and potentially how we avoid those same pitfalls as we experienced in Vietnam. Rusty Hills wrote the piece. He's the former chair of the Michigan Republican Party and lecturer at the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy at the University of Michigan, and Rusty joins us. Rusty, it's good to have you.
George, to see you. Wonderful to talk to you, Chris and Lloyd. Good morning.
Good morning. Well,
let's talk a little bit about where you think there are the similarities between what we're seeing in Iran and what we saw in Vietnam.
Yeah, good question. So, you know, they say that we learn from our own mistakes, but the wise person learns from someone else's. And I guess that's what I'm trying to do is let's learn from some of the mistakes of the past. And I think two from Vietnam are you want to beware the smartest person in the room, because my experience is by definition that person isn't. And the other lesson is that war never goes as planned. And we've seen this play out time and time again, both in our own history and frankly from other countries as well. First case was Robert McNamara, the former Secretary of Defense. And I'm old enough to remember those days. In fact, I just got rid of my draft card a couple months ago, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
And I can remember Vietnam. McNamara ran Ford Motor Company. He was into statistics, wanted to measure everything, had all about kill ratios and how many of the enemy we were taking off the battlefield. But at the end of the day, all those numbers didn't add up because we were the ones that ended up leaving Vietnam and the North Vietnamese won. And the other thing is that, war just doesn't go as planned. And we see this playing out right now before our very eyes in Iran. Look, there's no question we've got the greatest military in the world, and we've completely decimated Iranian air force and naval forces. It's been a triumph, and really, it speaks volumes about what a great military we have. And my hat goes out to all those who service our country in the military. But the Strait of Hormuz is still closed. And, it's because they've been able to use these drones and mines and small ships to interdict shipping in such a way that, it's just completely fouled up the price of oil and gas. And you see that every time we go to the pump. So what we're doing right now isn't working. I think wise people need to step back and say, okay, what do we need to do to change to accomplish what we want to do in this conflict?
And, Rusty, when you look back at Vietnam, one of the biggest criticisms was the inability to pivot when things were not working. How important is it for an administration to publicly acknowledge when something needs to change? I mean, is there a risk of just staying the course simply, to appear weak?
I think that there's a tendency there. Yeah, I do believe that. And look, I'm not looking for the president or the secretary to do some big mea culpa. They don't need to apologize to me, but I do think they need to reevaluate. First of all, what is our goal? Let's figure that out first. And then if we're not accomplishing it, what changes do we have to make to get there? Years ago, I read an interesting book that compared the British with the Americans and how the British in their jungle fights in Malaysia and some of these others understood that, these big army battles that we had in World War II with like Montgomery and Patton, that worked in Europe. That doesn't work in the jungles and in Asia. So they had to do a completely different strategy to try and win over villagers and isolate who their enemy really was. And so they learned and adapted. And that was one thing that we just didn't do very much of in Vietnam. That's what I'm asking to do now is let's learn and adapt to make sure the most important thing we can do is safeguard the men and women who are in our military. Mm-hmm. And so let's figure out what we can do to keep them safe and accomplish our mission as quickly as we possibly can.
You talked about the process that Donald Trump went through before taking this military action. The assumption perhaps was that this was going to be really fast, that he would go in, hit the Iranians, hit the regime, and then get out. They would fold. Everything would be done in just a couple of weeks. Nice, neat package. Obviously, that hasn't been the case. Do you believe that what we've seen since then, since the start of this conflict, that everything has been planned out meticulously, or do you feel like they're kind of shooting from the hip a little bit?
Well,
because I'll tell you, it just seems like the blockade, for example, I don't know if that was part of the initial plan.
Yeah, I wonder that myself. It seems to me it has the whiff of ad-libbing is sort of the way I view this. Mm-hmm. I understand that war doesn't go as planned, and there's always an element of that. You know, I'm sure that was true in some of our successful conflicts, like World War II, for example, where you adapt to changes on the battlefield. So I get that happens, right? I mean, you have to change on the fly sometimes, but it seems like there's a little too much of that. Again, partly because I'm not clear what the end game is. I'm not sure anybody is. I don't know that you are, Congress, the public. What is the goal? I mean, do we want a popular uprising? Do we want to get rid of, all of the religious, running of the theocracy of Iran? We're trying to get rid of the enriched uranium there. We certainly want to open the Strait of Hormuz. We know that's there. Mm-hmm. So what do we have to do to get that? Let's figure that out.
And, when history looks back at this moment, Rusty, what do you think is going to matter more, just the initial decision to act or how the leaders adjusted, once it really kind of set in?
That's a great question. I think history will look back at the outcome. You generally judge these things by results. Fortunately, we've only had like 13 or 14 service members. And unfortunately is the wrong word, because you never want to lose a single military member, right? I mean, that's a tragedy that lose forever with the family. But we've been able to keep casualties low so far. I'd like to continue to do that. What can we do to accomplish the goals in the most efficient, quickest manner that safeguards as many of our people in uniform as possible? And again, if the president and secretary can't enumerate that, then I think Congress needs to take a much bolder stance in holding their feet to the fire. That's why I said we need something like the Fulbright hearings, where some brave senator or representative will say, look, we need to hold everyone accountable. Let's bring them before Congress, explain what's going on. I'm not talking about giving away secrets. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being really clear about what our goals are and, making that crystal clear so the American public understands why we're there and what we're doing.
A really interesting piece in the Detroit Free Press. Rusty Hills, thanks so much for your time this morning. Don't be a stranger. Let's talk again soon.
I love it. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, right. Floyd. Have a great day.
You got it, Rusty. You do the same. Coming up on the other side, a new plan being bandied about in Lansing to improve accountability and to increase public access to state reports. We'll talk about it with Representative Ann Boland next on JR Morning.